You're listening to What's New with Wired.
This podcast is supported by Tools and Weapons, the podcast hosted by Microsoft Vice Chair and President Brad Smith. Each episode features insight you won't find anywhere else from the center of the conversation surrounding emerging technologies like AI. Right now on the podcast, you can hear a special episode where Brad Smith lays out Microsoft's vision for a vibrant marketplace driving the new AI economy. To hear more, follow or subscribe to Tools and Weapons with Brad Smith wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
It's Thursday, April 18th. I'm Zeke Robison. Today, how one author pushed the limits of AI copyright. Make sure to listen to the end to find out what other Wired podcasts you can check out today. Last October, I received an email with a hell of an opening line. I fired a nuke at the U.S. Copyright Office this morning. The message was from Elisa Shoup, a 60-year-old retired U.S. Army veteran who had just filed a copyright registration for a novel she'd recently self-published. She used OpenAI's ChatGPT extensively while writing the book. Her application was an attempt to compel the U.S. Copyright Office to overturn its policy on work made with AI, which generally requires would-be copyright holders to exclude machine-generated elements. That initial shot didn't detonate. A week later, the USCO rejected Shoup's application, but she ultimately won out. The agency changed course earlier this month after Shoup appealed, granting her copyright registration for AI machinations, Tangled Webs and Typed Words, a work of auto-fiction self-published on Amazon under the pen name Ellen Ray. The novel draws from Shoup's eventful life involving her advocacy for more inclusive gender recognition. Its registration provides a glimpse of how the USCO is grappling with artificial intelligence, especially as more people incorporate AI tools into creative work. It is among the first creative works to receive a copyright for the arrangement of AI-generated text. We're seeing the Copyright Office struggling with where to draw the line. Intellectual property lawyer Erica Van Loon, a partner at Nixon Peabody, says. Shoup's case highlights some of the nuances of that struggle because the approval of her registration comes with a significant caveat. The USCO's notice granting Shoup copyright registration of her book does not recognize her as author of the whole text as is conventional for written works. Instead, she is considered the author of the selection, coordination, and arrangement of text generated by artificial intelligence. This means no one can copy the book without permission, but the actual sentences and paragraphs themselves are not copyrighted and could theoretically be rearranged and republished as a different book. The agency backdated the copyright registration to October 10th, the day that Shoup originally attempted to register her work. It declined to comment on this story. The Copyright Office does not comment on specific copyright registrations or pending applications for registration, Nora Shelland, an agency spokesperson, says. The agency was pressed in President Biden's executive order on AI last fall to make recommendations to the White House on the scope of protection for works produced using AI. Although Shoup's limited copyright registration is notable, she originally asked the USCO to open a more significant path to copyright recognition for AI-generated material. I seek to copyright the AI-assisted and AI-generated material under the ADA exemption with my many disabilities, she wrote in her original copyright application. She is proud of the finished work and sees working with a text generator as a different but no less worthwhile method of expressing thoughts. You don't just hit generate and get something worthy of publishing. That may come in the future, but we're still far from it, she says, noting that she spent upwards of 14 hours a day working on her draft. After her initial registration was refused, Shoup connected with Jonathan Askin, founder of the Brooklyn Law Incubator and Policy Clinic at Brooklyn Law School, which takes pro bono cases centered on emerging tech and policy questions. Askin and Brooklyn law student Sofia Vescovo began working on Shoup's case and filed an appeal with the USCO in January. The appeal built on Shoup's argument about her disabilities, saying she should be granted copyright because she used ChatGPT as an assistive technology to communicate, comparing her use of OpenAI's chatbot to an amputee using a prosthetic leg. The appeal claimed that the USCO discriminated against her because of her disability. The Brooklyn Law Appeal also claimed that Shoup should be granted copyright for compiling the book, that is, doing the work of selecting and organizing the snippets of AI-generated text. It provided an exhaustive log of how Shoup prompted ChatGPT, showing the custom commands she created and the edits she made. It includes a side-by-side comparison of the unedited machine output and the final version of Shoup's book. On a sentence level, she adjusted almost every line in some way, from changes in word choice to structure. One example, describing a character in the novel, Mark eyed her, a complex mix of concern and annoyance evident in his gaze, becomes Mark studied her, his gaze reflecting both worry and irritation. The appeal cites another recent AI copyright decision about the graphic novel Zarya and the Dawn, which incorporates AI-generated images created with Midjourney. In February 2023, author Chris Kostanova was granted copyright to the selection and arrangement of AI-generated images in the text, even though they were denied copyright on the specific images themselves. When the USCO granted Shoup's request for copyright, it did not address the disability argument put forth, but agreed with the appeal's other argument. Shoup could be considered the author of selection, coordination, and arrangement of text generated by artificial intelligence, the agency wrote, backdating her copyright registration to October 10, 2023, the day that Shoup had originally attempted to register her work. That gives her authorship of the work overall, prohibiting unauthorized whole-cloth reproduction of the entire book, but not copyright protection over the actual sentences of the novel. Overall, we are extremely satisfied, says Vanesco. The team felt that copywriting the book's compilation would provide peace of mind against out-and-out reproduction of the work. We really wanted to make sure we could get her this protection right now. The Brooklyn Law team hope Shoup's approval can serve as a blueprint for other people experimenting with AI text generation who want some copyright protection. I'm going to take this as a win for now, Shoup says, even though she knows that in some ways it's a compromise. She maintains that the way she uses ChatGPT more closely resembles a collaboration than an automated output, and that she should be able to copyright the actual text of the book. Matthew Sag, a professor of law and artificial intelligence at Emory University, calls what the USCO granted Shoup thin copyright, protection against full-fledged duplication of materials that doesn't stop someone from rearranging the paragraphs into a different story. This is the same kind of copyright you would get in an anthology of poetry that you didn't write, Sag says. Erica Van Loon agrees. It's hard to imagine something more narrow, she says. Shoup is part of a larger movement to make copyright law friendlier to AI and the people who use it. The Copyright Office, which both administers the copyright registration system and advises Congress, the Judiciary Committee, and other governmental agencies on copyright matters, plays a central role in determining how works that use AI are treated. Although it continues to define authorship as an exclusively human endeavor, the USCO has demonstrated openness to registering works that incorporate AI elements. The USCO said in February that it has granted registration to over 100 works with AI incorporated. A search by Wired found over 200 copyright registration applications explicitly disclosing AI elements, including books, songs, and visual works. One such application came from Tyler Parton, who works for a chemical manufacturer. He recently registered a tongue-in-cheek song he created about a coworker, but excluded lyrics that he spun up using ChatGPT from his registration. Parton sees the text generator as a tool, but ultimately doesn't think he should take credit for its output. Instead, he applied only for the music rather than the accompanying words. I didn't do that work, he says. But there are others who share Shoup's perspective and agree with her mission and believe that AI-generated materials should be registerable. Some high-profile elements to register AI-generated artworks have resulted in USCO refusals, like artist Matthew Allen's efforts to get his award-winning artwork, Teatro d'Opera Spatiale, copyrighted last year. AI researcher Stephen Thaler has been on a mission for years to prove that the AI system he invented deserves copyright protections of its own. Thaler is currently appealing a ruling in the U.S. last year that rebuffed his attempt to obtain copyright on behalf of his machine. Ryan Abbott, the lead attorney on the case, founded the Artificial Inventor Project, a group of intellectual property lawyers who file test cases seeking legal protections for AI-generated works. Abbott is a supporter of Shoup's mission, although he's not a member of her legal team. He isn't happy that the copyright registration excludes the AI-generated work itself. "We all see it as a very big problem," he says. Shoup and her legal helpers don't have plans to push the ADA argument further by contesting the USCO's decision, but it's an issue that is far from settled. "The best path is probably to lobby Congress for an addition to the ADA statute," says Askins. "There's a potential for us to draft some legislation or testimony to try to move Congress in that direction." Shoup's qualified victory is still a significant marker in how the Copyright Office is grappling with what it means to be an author in the age of AI. She hopes going public with her efforts will reduce what she sees as a stigma against using AI as a creative tool. Her metaphorical nuke didn't go off, but she has nonetheless advanced her cause. "I haven't been this excited since I unboxed a Commodore 64 back in the 1980s, and after a lot of noise, connected to a distant computer," she says. Make sure to check out our other Wired podcasts. Today in Wired Business, luxury Airbnb high-rises are reshaping Miami's skyline. Checking in on Wired Science, U.S. infrastructure is broken. Here's an $830 million plan to fix it. And on Wired Security, Change Healthcare faces another ransomware threat, and it looks credible. Listen to these stories and more at wired.com/podcasts.
Thanks for listening to Wired. Check back in tomorrow to hear more stories from wired.com.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Our show features our team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. And they'll help you make the most of your money while cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. You'll get clarity on strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.